life. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, precious Father. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we magnify your name. Your name is glorified forever. Angels, men, nature brings you praise and glory because you are deserving of it. Thank you, Father. Jesus' precious name. Amen. Wow. Give the Lord a big hand. God bless you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. God bless you. Wow. So refreshing. You know, the songs of old are so beautiful. They sang only the gospel. They didn't sing what appealed to their emotions. They just sang the gospel. Sometimes when I'm listening to the hymns, I'm just crying. I said, these things are ageless. They extol the name of the Lord. They magnify the name of the Lord. It's just about Jesus. So beautiful. You are glorious. So glorious. In Yahweh, you are glorious, you are glorious, so glorious in Yahweh, 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 you are glorious, so glorious in songs again and sing them. They are so refreshing. How many of you feel refreshed just singing these songs? So refreshing. Full of life. You know, the people who sang these songs, they were not thinking of being popular. They were just loving God. And they are gone, the songs remain. Sometimes you don't even know who sang them. I did a research, talking about hymns now, I did a research and I was amazed when I was exploring the world of hymns. I realized There was a blind woman called Fanny Crosby. She wrote 8,000 hymns. 8,000. A blind woman. Just pouring her heart to Jesus. You hear them, you weep, you hear, they are new every day. May God help our motives. This generation of trying to survive and using God. May God help our motives. Praise God. I wish I knew more of these songs. We'll do a service of songs one day. Praise God. And so tonight we want to look into the scriptures. We have about an hour to expound on a few things that will help us and build us even as we walk with the Lord. Bible studies like this are very important services. In fact, they are more important than the miracle services. And as I explain, you will understand. You know, many times we believe that when you come to church and deliverance sessions are going on, we are casting out demons. In fact, when we do that all the time, you will assume that's a powerful church. Because every day they are casting out demons. Or you come to a church where we are praying for the sick every day, healing the sick, you say, my God, the power of God is there. When a church truly becomes powerful, people begin to live above the realm of demons. You won't find any demon to cast out. When a church truly becomes powerful, people live above the realm of sickness. You won't find any sick person to pray for. The reason is because you don't meet one superstar manifesting the glory of God. Everybody becomes a carrier of the glory of God. Everybody. And so when we are still doing so much of deliverance, so much of prophesying, so much of casting out demons, so much of praying for the sick, it means the church is still at the babyhood stage. There are too many sick people, so we are distracted. What we should be doing in church, in the ideal sense, is to explore God. Study the dimensions of God, and we are trying to master the different dimensions of God. When you study Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels, the reason two-thirds of his ministry was signs and wonders was because he was mostly an itinerant preacher. You will never read in the Bible where Jesus was praying for his disciples to be healed. You will never read in the Bible where Jesus was casting out demons from those who were with him. It was necessary because he was an itinerant person. So he went from different locations per time. And because these people are not exposed to the world, they are demonized, they are sick. And so the church needs to grow to that level where services are more about word. We teach the word and people apply them than praying for the sick and casting out demons. In fact, we should become organized. Okay, that's based on the administration of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost speaks to people differently. And this is not in any way saying that churches where they are casting out demons are not powerful. That's not the point I'm making, right? Because God sends different people to different territories and different kinds of, you know, people. So there are places where people go to address these things, and they are beautiful because they are improving the lives of people. I said that to encourage you to study the word of God for yourself and grow thereby. When you do that, you will begin to enjoy the life of God and the resources of the Spirit that is available to you. Praise God. And this is why we started studying on Sunday on the things we need to do in order to step into our manifestation. And I told us on Sunday that it's possible for you to complete process, finish your preparation, and yet not manifest. And there are many people like that. They fasted for years, they've prayed, their character is intact. In fact, when you meet them talk to you on a personal note, you'll be wondering, why is the world not hearing this person? The reason is because they don't know the protocol of manifestation. There is a protocol that makes for manifestation of the grace of God that is on your life, and also to help you step into your season so that you can become a blessing to the body of Christ. Preparation is important, but preparation is not enough. And so, for example, I began on Sunday by talking to us. I said the prophecy, according to Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, he said, a virgin shall give birth. He shall give birth to a son, and he shall save his people from their sins. So the prophecy insists that the person must be a virgin. And true to the words of those prophecies, when the time for manifestation came, here was Mary, a virgin, fully prepared, qualified for the requirement of that prophecy. But when the angel came, Mary did not give birth just because she was a virgin. When you study the scripture closely, you will discover there were three things Mary did that every one of us who must fulfill the prophecy on our lives must also do in order to step into our manifestation. The first was that Mary received the word of the Lord that came to her. She believed it. She received it. She said, be it done to me according to thy word. That was the first requirement. And I began telling us on Sunday, I said, the reason many very prepared vessels never step into their season of manifestation is because when they are done with preparation and the time for manifestation comes, it's either they miss their word or they don't receive their word. You may study the scripture back to back, but the word that will make you a voice to your generation is not the whole scripture, it's not the logos, it's the proceeding word. It's the rhema word. It comes to you and is specifically yours. For you to step into your manifestation, you must be able to recognize that word and receive it. The Bible said in Psalm 105 from verse 17 concerning Joseph, the guy had prepared himself. He didn't defile himself. He feared the Lord. He walked with the Lord even though he was in prison. But he never manifested. The Bible said until the time that his word came. And so I told us on Sunday that no matter how prepared you are, if you miss your word, the word that comes for you in your season, your preparation would have failed you. Because your preparation must receive the word that is sent to you for you to step into your manifestation. If you are not careful, you will end up telling the story of your preparation for a lifetime, but you may not be a joy of many generations. And so you must recognize that word, you must receive that word in order for your season to be born. There are many persons, in fact, from that service that began to journey backward to find the words that came for them 10 years ago. Some persons are 10 years ahead of the word for their manifestation. The word came to them 10 years ago, but they didn't know to pick it. They are still doing church. They are still doing fasting. They are still doing prayer on mountains. But their word is in their past. And so for such people to manifest, they will have to travel backward before they travel forward. Because so long as they've left that word behind, no matter how fast they are traveling, they are going nowhere. Until they pick that word, there will be no progress in their lives. And so the first thing that makes for manifestation in life is to be able to catch the proceeding word of God that is meant for you. Mary would have been a virgin all her life until she got married. She would not have been the mother of Jesus. What made her become the mother of Jesus is the fact that she was able to receive her word. And the Bible said in Luke 1:34 and 35, Mary asked the question, how shall these things be? And he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And he said, that thing that shall be formed in you shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Mary said, be it done to me according to thy word. And she was not the only person that knew the secret. When she went to visit Elizabeth, in Luke 1 verse 45, Elizabeth said something that was amazing. You know, the people of old were spiritually intelligent. They knew how spiritual things worked. The moment Mary visited Elizabeth, the first thing that happened was that she picked it, that Mary was pregnant with the Lord. Because the moment Mary caught the word, the conception began. She didn't feel anything. There was no cloud. There was no emotion. The moment she received that word, conception began. And when she came to Elizabeth, she said, what an honor that the mother of my Lord will come to visit me. He said, the moment you saluted me, he said, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. What kind of spiritual intelligence? These were not Pharisees. These were not doctors of the law. These were just housewives trying to be. I mean, it's so amazing. The way we adapt spiritually, if you compare us with the early church, you will just laugh. And she said something that is my concern for the service. In Luke 1:45, she said, "Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance." That means the performance will only come after you have received and believed the word. Are you not shocked that people are fasting every day, yet they are going nowhere? Are you not shocked that people are praying every day, yet they are going nowhere? People are going to Bible schools upon Bible schools, they are going nowhere. The problem is not with what they are doing. All of those things are important and they must do it. Because preparation is the foundation for manifestation. How be it, if you do that and you don't receive the word that comes for you in your season, you will remain in one spot for a lifetime. This is the secret that the patriarchs of old understood. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to become bread." And Jesus said, "No, it is not turning stones to become bread that proves that I'm the Son of God. It is the word of the Lord that is sent to me that makes me the Son of God." He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." People don't know this. That's why you can come somewhere, they say, "If you are a prophet, prophesy." If you say you are a prophet of God, take the microphone now and prophesy. I don't need to collect the microphone in one service to prophesy to prove that I'm a prophet. I can come for the service, teach the word of God and say, "God bless you," and go home. You can't put me under pressure to prophesy to prove that I'm a prophet. What made me a prophet is that God told me you are a prophet. And if God told me that, I may not prophesy for 15 years. I am still a prophet. It's not my prophesying that makes me a prophet. I'm a prophet because God says so. And when you study the scriptures, you will find out some prophets were teachers. They taught the word of God and wrote the word of God and went. They never called anybody's name. They never called anybody's phone number. You couldn't put them under pressure. They gave the counsel of God to Israel. Some prophets in scriptures were revivalists. Jonah didn't prophesy anything. He just came and revived the nation. But that's a prophet. Because God called him one. But you find a generation that don't know what makes. And so they are under pressure to prove points. You come somewhere, they say, "If you claim you are not a fake preacher, pray for this sick person now to be healed." It is not that person being healed that makes me a servant of God. God called me to be his servant. And because I have received that word, there is nothing anybody says that can do otherwise. The reason is because when God speaks, his word is creative. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2, he said, when he spoke to me, he said, "The spirit entered into me and carried me to my feet." That word that enters you is what makes you, not the activity you do eventually. And so when the word of God shows up, God cannot lie. And you need to understand the reason God cannot lie. The reason God cannot lie is not because God only says what is true. If God tells a lie, it becomes true. If God tells you that you are tall, even if you were a dwarf, the moment he says it, you will look at yourself and discover you are tall. The energy level is such that anything he says becomes. That's why he said God cannot lie. He didn't say God will not lie. God cannot lie. If he wants to lie, he can't. If God says you are dead, even if you were breathing, the moment that word moves, you die. And so when the word of the Lord comes to you, it makes you. Your job is to receive that word and believe it. Everything around you may be speaking otherwise. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, they are temporal. I'm telling you why. It looks very simple, but these are powerful principles in scripture. Some of you are here now. God told you that your word will look for you. And for the past 3 years, you have been asking yourself, "Is this thing possible? Can this thing never happen? If this thing is true, why is this and this and this and this not happening?" Relax. You don't know who spoke. The moment Mary knew it, she had not felt anything. Elizabeth already picked it and said, "You are carrying the mother, you are the mother of the Lord. You are carrying the Lord in your womb." And instantly Mary said something. He said, "All generations shall call me blessed. Child, not yet formed, but it was a sign that she has received that word. When you receive the word and believe it, it will affect the way you act. When you receive the word and believe it, it will affect the way you talk. And when you start talking like that, it's a sign that you have caught something. When we started saying we will change the world, if you saw us then, you will laugh. You will laugh. People who can't have food, they can't eat food in a day, they are saying they will shake this world. How will you do it? You will do it because God said so. There are most of you here that look like a joke when you are talking about what God told you. And people might even laugh at you. Don't worry. That word has the power to bring you the reality that God said. And so, in order to walk into your manifestation, and this is very important because your circumstance will want to brainwash you. I'm telling you, your circumstance will want to tell you otherwise. Did you study the life of Abraham? God told him, you shall be the father of many nations. And you are telling him that at the age of 75. And Abraham thought it was a joke. He carried it when he was 99. He sat down with God and said, wait, what do you mean when you said so? Am I going to be a father of nations on earth or nations in the spirit? Because what I'm seeing now, Sarah is already barren and I am impotent. What were you saying? Can you rehearse it again? The one who spoke have no regard whether your body is alive or dead. Because he said, God, he quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. Because if he says it, that is how it is. And so when men want to walk into their manifestation, they must learn to receive the word of God and focus on it. Because performance will only come when you believe. And you have only received the word when you have believed it. If you have not received the word, you are only aware of it. You have not received it. If you have not believed the word, you are only aware of it. You have not believed it. God may tell you now that you are going to be a governor in your state. And then you checked and discovered it's impossible by looking at the facts. He's not looking at the facts when he spoke. He was not looking at the facts. When he spoke your reality. And you will never become one until the day you believe that you are. And when you believe it, you will start acting like one immediately. Because the moment Abraham believed it, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. If your actions and your words are not consistent with what was told you, you have not yet believed it. And if you have not yet believed it, you have not yet received it. You are only aware of it, but you have never received it. The day you receive what God said is the day you believe it, the day you accept it, and the day you begin to call yourself what God calls you. Can you imagine how they would laugh at Abraham when he woke up suddenly and said, I am father of many nations? They will say, hey, this guy is going mad. We said that this thing has led to depression. And some of his relatives will start gathering together quickly to see how they can help the old man. You will come home and you will see three of your brothers talking. And when they see you, they will keep quiet. Well done, how you doing? When you go, they will start talking again. The next day you wake up in the morning, you see a doctor. And the doctor will try to be so diplomatic and said, what is the time now? You will think, okay, maybe he doesn't have a watch. He will say, okay, it's 8 a.m. He will now say, okay, what color of clothes am I wearing? Ah, that's when you will discover your brothers have conspired against you. They have told the doctor that maybe you are going mental. Meanwhile, you are just believing what God told you. It looks foolish until you are in a crisis. But the first step into your manifestation is to believe what God told you. That is your action in defiling everything the devil is saying about you that is contrary to your destiny. If you don't have the faith to receive what God told you, sir, if you like, be on the mountain for 30 years, you will never manifest. If you like, have all the connections in the world, you will never manifest. Because your destiny is the animation of the word of God to you. And if you don't receive that word, it will never animate to what God has said. This is all we were trying to say on Sunday. And so now, I want to add two more blocks. After you have received and believed, there is something else you must do. And the second thing you need to do is what we call a consciousness. You must sustain a consciousness. Many people are saying one thing, but they sustain a different consciousness. This is why their life is a contradiction. Many people are professing one, but they have another consciousness. And this is one of the errors you find with Christians. They come to church, they get them to talk in a certain way. And so you find the brother telling you, I am strong. I am strong means I'm sick. The moment he says, I'm strong, he knows you know what he's saying. He will look at you and say, I am loaded. I'm loaded means I don't have money. And so we create all kinds of language. Meanwhile, while we are talking what we are talking, we ourselves know it's a cliche. Because as we are saying it, we know we understand what we are saying. Meanwhile, what we don't know is that that understanding we have is superior to what we are saying. When I'm telling you I'm loaded, and me and you know what I'm saying is that I'm poor, that mentality we have is superior to what we are saying. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you ask and think. It's not just above what you ask. So God responds also to what you think. And so if your thought is contrary to your words, your life is in a contradiction. You don't just know it. After a while, you will discover that you have ended up contradicting your life. And so when you believe what God said or says to you, it's your responsibility to sit down and convince yourself and program yourself to think like that and to think like that only. Many people just hear what God said and they run with it. They never sat down to convince themselves. They never sat down to program themselves to think like that. And so while they are saying what they are saying, somebody just tell them something that is contrary to what God said, and it diffuses that their enthusiasm in a second. The guy stands up and says, I will change this world. And somebody looks at him and says, you? The moment they laugh, he goes down. And so he fluctuates. The reason that can happen is because you have accepted the word, but you have not sat down to make that word your reality. It's your responsibility to sit down. Because when you start building imagination, you will discover there are two dimensions to imagination. The first aspect of imagination is what we call reasoning. In the Greek word, you will see that this word is used interchangeably for the mind. The first word used for imagination is the word logismos. And logismos means arguments and reasoning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3 to 5, when he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations. The word used there is the word logismos. They are strong reasons. They are strong opinions. They are strong arguments. So when God tells you, for example, that you, I will send you to a nation and you will deliver that nation, don't just shout. Even if you believe it, sit down first and begin to talk to the Lord. Remember, Mary asked the angel, how shall these things be? That question is not a disagreement. It's to help her believe and understand what God said. And so many times, God speaks to people, they don't sit with God to ask him how. When God spoke to Moses, he said, I will send you to Egypt. You will go to Pharaoh and say to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may worship me. Moses didn't just say, I've met God. He said, number one, the Israelites will not believe me. How will I tell the Israelites, what is your name? And God said, when you go, tell them, I am that I am have sent you. Moses didn't stop there. He said, what if I tell them and they don't believe? And God told Moses, put your hand in your bosom. He put his hand. He brought it out. The hand became leprous. God said, put it again and bring it out. It became normal. God gave Moses two signs. Moses still said, what if they doubt the first sign? And God said, drop the staff. And when they dropped the staff, it became a serpent. God now told him, pick it up by the tail. Because if you are not careful, if you carry it from the head, the staff that should destroy Egypt will destroy you first. And God told him, pick. Do you see why people's calling destroy them? The guy jumped up and said, God say I'm a prophet. And because he's a prophet, the first person he's arguing with is the president of his country. and then they arrest him, put him in Kirikiri prison. He is waiting for angels to come, and no angel shows up because he carried the staff from the head. You are a prophet, but you carried your staff from the head. If you had reasoned it with God, he would have told you, in the first 5 years of your life, be praying. You will start as an intercessor. And then after 5 years, you will become a teacher. After a teacher, you will become an evangelist. After you become an evangelist, you will now build influence. Then you will become a prophet. Maybe it's on the 20th year of your calling that you can address government. But the guy woke up in the first 2 years of his calling because he looked at somebody and he said, your singlet is green. And the person said, ah, my singlet is green. How did you know? The next time he stand up, he said, the government of this state is rebellious. The government. The moment he finished, while he's yet prophesying, DSS will come. And then he's wondering, why are the other ministers saying it and nothing is happening? God told them to carry by the tail. You are carrying from the head. I'm telling you why people don't manifest. If you know how many young people are cut off, God told you that with you, he will start the biggest company. And then you stand up, you say, God spoke to me. I don't need anybody. Because you heard Bishop Oedipo say, I don't need anybody. Meanwhile, you don't have the revelation that authorized people to say that. But you heard somebody say, I don't need anybody. You too, stand up. Before you say that, ask God. Before, I don't need anybody. What do I need to know? Because there's a kind of knowledge you need to have for you not to need anybody. My son only sucks now. If he says he doesn't need anybody, he will die in 24 hours. Meanwhile, he may have the potential of becoming a global prophet. But now, if he says he doesn't need any, in fact, if the mother lives for one day, he will die. God is still alive, he will die. Hope you know that as powerful as Jesus was, when they wanted to kill the infant Jesus, God quickly mobilized Joseph. He said, run to Egypt. Run. He didn't say, wait here and show them the power of God. Jesus would have died and there wouldn't be any salvation. He said, take the child. The word is what? Child. This night, leave for Egypt. If you wait for tomorrow morning, Jesus will be killed. But when Jesus grew up, he said, no man taketh my life from me. He said, this commandment have I received of the Father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up. People shout without reasoning their calling. And so the first way to bet your ordination is logismus. You need to sit down and reason it out with God. Lord, I'm not afraid. Did you read the story of Gideon? I'm not afraid, Lord. But if you are the one saying this and this will happen, let the dew fall and it shall not fall on my staff. And that night, the dew fell. It didn't fall on the staff. It fell everywhere. He said, Lord, sorry, I'm not doubting you. I'm actually believing. Let it fall on the staff today and let it not fall any other place. And God did it. The guy walked with God like that until even the soldiers that he carried, God had to show him how they will drink water to prove the ones they will carry. God had to send him to the camp of the Midianites for him to believe. See, it's called logismos. Faith is a very reasonable reality. The thing is that you don't argue faith with your circumstance, but you argue faith with God and find out how shall these things be? How shall these things be? When God is done convincing you, even if Pharaoh stands up with a red eye, you won't be afraid anymore. Moses showed up and he told Pharaoh, let my people go that they may worship me. He said, who is your God that I should let your people go? Moses dropped his staff. Pharaoh's men dropped their staff. His staff swallowed their staff. He carried it up. And he said, because you will not hear the voice of God. That's a man addressing a king that is called a son God. When God convinces you, nothing can discourage you. The reason people are easily discouraged is because they didn't wait with God to convince them. And so the reasoning part of their imagination is depleted. They are motivated until crisis comes. And when crisis comes and they see the vengeance of Pharaoh, they will discover that they are but mortals. Because they didn't wait for God to work that conviction into their spirit. And so the first aspect of imagination is that aspect of God thoroughly proving you to show you that what he has said, his faithfulness will defend it. And when God tells you that, if the king wants, he should throw you to the lion's den. You will be there worshiping God. You will be there worshiping God. Everywhere becomes heaven to you. It's called logismos. This is not a state of doubt, but this is a state of communing with God to verify what he has told you. When a man understands imagination, he becomes a powerful being on earth. Nothing you say can change his mind. Nothing. I read the story of Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth and his wife came together and said, they will no longer take drugs. Any sickness that comes, they would rather die than take drugs. The moment I read the book, I didn't finish the chapter. I said, from today, if I touch any drug on this my tongue, let the drug itself kill me. I dumped the book. I've gotten what I'm looking for. I would have read to find out his dialogue with God. 2 weeks later, malaria showed up. When I dragged with malaria for 3 days, I now remember that they said malaria has killed more people. Some ancient stories began to come alive. I now remember that they said malaria has killed more people than the plagues of the world put together. I said, what is this? I now went online to find out, if you don't take any drug for malaria, what will happen? Because I didn't argue it out with God, I began to argue it out with the circumstance. And the moment you start arguing with the circumstance, you are already falling. And so in order for you not to go out and drag with the circumstance or with demons, you have to sit with God. Father, thank you for what you have said. I believe it. As you sit there, God begins to network your understanding. The reason is because if this does not happen, the traditions that you have in your mind, those traditions will make the word of God of none effect. The Bible said you have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. You'll be shocked that the stories you heard, when they rise up against what God told you, and you have not argued things out with God, those words will deplete what God told you, and you'll be shocked the magnitude of your fall. Before you step out, you need to stay with God. In the presence of God, he will convince you. He will work on your mind. He will bring down every argument, every contradiction, until your faith will swallow up everything. And you will be shocked when it doesn't happen. Those days when we started praying for the sick, if you pray for the sick and the sick is healed, you are surprised. Now if we pray for the sick and the sick is not healed, we are surprised. The reason is because there is a conviction and a work that God has done to our mind. And so it becomes easier for us to go through the fire than to back down. Because there are many that will back down. And the reason is because they didn't stay with God enough to give them all the articles of the utterances that came. Hope you know that when Mary took him, Joseph wanted to kick her out. But at that point, Mary was no longer afraid. She was too convinced that what was happening to her was the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. You may have heard God, but when the lions come, will you stand? You have heard God. Have you stayed in God's presence enough to give you all the details that you need for that season? If that conviction doesn't come, your mind will work against the word of God. And when your mind works against the word of God, there's nothing God can do. This is the challenge of many people. They never manifest. Some hear stories. You must have heard my story. How I was studying Smith Wigglesworth yet again. And he spoke how his friend died. And when he went, the guy was already in state. Because they were trying to do the service and everything. And he showed up. And he was in a glass stand. That means everybody was watching. When he entered there, he opened the coffin. Get up! The guy didn't come up. He lifted him out of the coffin, slammed him on the glass. Get up! The guys rolled on the glass and fell. He picked him again, slammed him on the glass. People ran and said, sir, what are you doing? Are you mad? Some people who know him before say, wait. He did it the second time. Guy, the guy fell again. So some elders now came in to counsel. God doesn't do this every day. We know you have this grace, but it's not every day. Smith Wigglesworth looked at them and said, I'm walking with God. Wait outside. And he carried the man the third time, slammed him on the wall. The man started walking. And usually when you are healed, he doesn't turn back. He walks away. When I read it, we confronted a dead lady. It's God that saved me that I didn't punch her. I would have been in the station. After we prayed in tongues 4 hours, the lady didn't come back to life. I now came back to my brain. I don't remember that Kenneth Hagin told the story one period. So I started shuffling from stories to stories, finding which one we walk. I'm telling you why people don't manifest. Shuffling from one story to the other. I entered Kenneth Hagin's story. I tried it. It didn't work. I entered Andrew Womack's story. When no story was working, we got tired. In fact, the mother of the child wanted to cry. We said, wait outside. Because when Jesus came to where the dead rose, he said, everybody should stay outside. The child is asleep. Wait outside. When we tried everything, I didn't work. Me and my friend sat on the chair. We were breathing. Lord, have mercy. The problem now was, how do we walk out of this place? Because the deliverance was not for the dead lady anymore. The deliverance was for the servants of God. We came in. The mother was crying, get out. We had given her the command. Now the problem is, how do we go out? How do we? While we sat there, God now showed mercy. The lady coughed and came back to life. From that day, I knew everybody must have a word from the Lord. When you hear men talk like God, God has spoken to them. And they sat with God until he worked on their minds. They see, if that word doesn't work, they would rather die. That's what the three Hebrew boys did. He said, oh king, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. He said, if it is to bow, we will never bow. And they threw them into the fire. They will rather die than bow. Hope you know, some people died in faith. The Bible says some died in faith. In fact, some rejected deliverance. That means they had come to a point of conviction that they believed what God told them much more than manifestation. Manifestation was no longer an answer to the word of the Lord. They had gone beyond manifestation. Even if they are to die, they will die believing. And they will die joyously because their faith is more precious to them than the manifestation. You will come to that point where, if I perish, I perish. I don't believe because God can deliver me. Even if God chooses not to deliver me, I will still believe to my grave. And it's not a loss. Because when you are in faith, you don't lose. That's what Paul said. He said, for me to die is Christ. To live is for your own purpose. To die, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That means when Paul dies, it's not because his faith failed. Because absence from the body is presence with the Lord. He has come to a point where he's not believing God for an answer. Our generation believe God for an answer. At this level, he's believing God as a lifestyle. Because the just shall live by faith. So when we talk, we believe it beyond the manifestation. It will take logismos for you to get there. But many believers, God have not convinced them enough. They just heard something somebody else said and they ran with it. When God speaks to you, sometimes you need to go and search the scripture to find out the people God spoke to on that same matter. In Romans 15 verse 4, it said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. As you see how God kept his faithfulness to those people, your own faith will come alive. Your mind must be reprogrammed because your reality is in your mind. And if that conviction is not there beyond every argument, when the arguments rise up at your lowest ebb, you will discover that many times you will change your mind. Can I shock you? Christians are not supposed to die. Christians are not supposed to be sick. The reason we still die and the reason we are still sick is because there is an iota of ignorance. There is an iota of fear. There's an iota of unbelief that we have not dealt with. Some people can live long, but they still die. By the time faith is perfected and no iota of unbelief, no iota of fear, no iota of sin can find expression in us, immortality will be natural. This is why the Bible said he has made life and immortality open through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The situations you are going through is because there are arguments in your mind that is superior to the word God gave you. The day the word of the Lord becomes the most supreme argument in your mind, it will defy every situation you are going through. I read the story of the wife of Joel Osteen. John Osteen, the father of Joel Osteen. The woman had a health challenge and they told her she had 8 days to live. At that point, it dawned on her, she had never secured a word from the Lord. The husband was a healing revivalist, powerful man in the United States. And this woman too stood up, gathered 40 scriptures on healing. Every day began to look at them, talk to those scriptures, argue with those scriptures, waiting for God to say something. And she, the first day, second day, third day, she was talking, hoping she will not die. She was trying to look for a word to defy death. And you know, in their days, if they say you are dying, you are gone. After a while, the argument became so strong in her spirit, she couldn't see herself dying anymore. And 48 days passed, 40 days passed, 8 years passed, 10 years passed. The woman lived long until she became tired of life. She had fulfilled her purpose. She wanted to rest. The counsel of the doctor is stronger in your spirit than what God said. That's why you are sick. God can tell you are healed, and you enter the hospital and the doctor looks at you and says, "Ah, how are you walking? Quickly, come, quick." You will say, "Doctor, what happened? You are still standing? Lie on this bed, quick. Yes, sir, yes, sir." You that came and said, "We shall not die, but live." The argument is not strong. The moment you enter the hospital and saw the facility, you enter, the doctor did smile. He came with an eyeglass, with a stethoscope. He looked at you, and he did like this. He checked your eye. He looked at your pulse. "My God, how are you still alive? Quickly, I see you, I see you. High blood pressure will kill you before they even diagnose the problem." There are pressures of life that will come. Wars, issues will come to defy what God told you. And in order for you not to be subdued by those things, every day you will sit at the feet of the Master, so that the words is spoken to your spirit will be energized. Your mind will be renewed. And the extent of the mind renewal is what determines the weight of your manifestation. Many have not won that argument in God's presence. When God spoke to Jacob, he fought with him all night until he was convinced that he could not fail in life. Many just hear God and run away. That's why they don't manifest. Or they begin to manifest, but they shoot out like a star, a shooting star, and they vanish the same way, because there is something that will contend with them. In order for you not to hit a collision and fall, you better stay in God's presence, so that everything he told you, he gives you a commitment along those lines. We are talking about manifestations, so that your destiny is not subjugated, subverted, or cut short. Everything God tells you, you need to stay with him. The word of God will be proven in your life. He said the word of the Lord tried Joseph. When Joseph shows up, he's no longer asking God to deliver him. He knows that he must be delivered. He knows God cannot forget him. He knows too well that God can't forget him. Many believers are not there. That's why they are not manifesting. The second aspect of imagination is called dianoia. Dianoia. That aspect of imagination is the aspect of visualization. That is the aspect where you create the world you want to see within you before it manifests in the natural. This is the aspect that the New Age guys have mastered, because they know something, that when you begin to create a mental picture, it's an energy in the spirit. Spirits will look for that person. When a man begins to create, listen, even in electromagnetic studies, radiation studies, they can prove it, that men's emotional dispositions and thought patterns create invisible rays of energy. And so when a man begins to create the world he wants to see and begins to visualize it, something happens. It's an energy in the spirit. And if that energy is consistent with the word that God told you, then the power of God will alight on it and animate it. If that energy is from a movie you watched, the spirit that inspired that movie will alight upon it and animate it. This is why many people who are into immorality, check, they watch pornography. They watch it until it becomes their visions. They visualize it, and a point comes, demons begin to alight on it. Because when that pornographic movie was shot, the demons that inspired it did not inspire it just for entertainment. He inspired it to enslave people in immorality. And now that this person has watched until even when the movie shuts down, he's still playing in his mind, the demon now shows up. And you will find out that a guy who doesn't have enough money to rent a house can be sleeping with women every week. And you will ask, how are you able to achieve it? There is a wisdom in darkness. There is a skill, and there's an energy that has come upon him. He can talk a lady to bed. Even himself will not know when that level of power and utterance came. When you hear some of these guys talk to women, it looks as if they rub honey on their tongue. The wisdom is so much. A lady that appears so sophisticated, you find a guy with a torn jeans. From the salutation he gives the lady, he throws her off balance. And the guy is so sure that these ladies will fall. He says, I'm the ladies' man. They can't resist me. And when he shows up, sometimes he's touching his beard. And as he's doing like this, the ladies, something is going on in the lady. The guy is a partner of a demon. He has watched it. The thing is in his mind. And so he knows that when he's touching his beard, the lady, something is happening in the lady. And truly, when he shows up and starts touching his beard, the lady starts blushing. Everything he imagines play out exactly how he imagined it. How he will meet the lady, how he will call her, what he will tell her, how he will take her out, what he will tell her, how he will take her home. Everything will play out. And then you are wondering, how are you so powerful? He created those visions in his mind. When you are inspired by a spirit and you begin to create those visions, even the spirit cannot withhold itself from you anymore. Because that word you created in your mind, you will create it in the natural. Hope you know, before God created the visible world, the Bible said the Spirit of God was brooding upon the face of the deep. That's the imagination realm. He created that word within himself, and then he used the word to download it. When you create those pictures from the word of God, or from what God told you you are an evangelist to the nations. God told you you will raise cripples, and every day of your life, as you are walking, people are going to stadiums to watch ball. When you stand in the stadium, you are seeing where your podium is. You are seeing the congregation. You are seeing the crowd. You are seeing how the cripples are rising. Wait for a while. After a while, the energy of God will mantle that imagination. How you will become known. How the crowd will come. How the cripples will walk. Even you will no longer know, because God will take over. That's the power of imagination. Both in light and in darkness it works. Why do you think so much money is spent on promos? They are selling razor blade. You see a naked woman on it. They are trying to create a world in your mind. Because they know if that world is created, demons can take over. You want to buy a recharge card. If it's possible, they would have drawn a naked woman on it. Even my notepad, I'm not connected to the internet. I click on my notepad to write. After a while, an advert pops out. Some of the adverts that are hanging, when I went on Wi-Fi, adverts, you are writing on your note. Nowadays, it's even risky to open your notepad to write in public. If somebody comes on it, you may assume that's what you were watching. These things just pop out from everywhere. And you are wondering, they are assaulting you to think like that. And when you think it after a while, some people create a world of fear. And because they create a world of fear, everything around their life is failing. Some people create a world of immorality. And because they have created that world, every manifestation is immoral. And even God can't stop it. Let me show you something about the power of imagination. Quickly. Hear what God said about imagination. And then you will know why, if God tells you anything, you will meditate on it until you are intoxicated with it. If God tells you anything, meditate on it until you are obsessed with it. When God tells you anything, meditate on it until you fantasize over it. That's when your manifestation can no longer be withheld. He said, when the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. That's in the imagination realm. God told you you'll be wealthy. Begin to see yourself sponsor orphanages. Begin to see yourself sponsor investment. Begin to see yourself sponsor mission. Begin to see yourself sign checks of millions of dollars. As you are seeing those things over and over, the power of God will fall upon it. God tells you, you are a healing evangelist. Let one day not pass and you don't see yourself pulling somebody from the wheelchair. Let that day not pass that you didn't hear a message on healing, or you didn't see somebody who is walking in it. Many times I sit down, I carry my iPad. I'm not hearing a message. I'm seeing the preachers that have gone ahead of me, how they raise people from witches. I watch them, how they command demons. I'm just seeing all of these things. And after a while, I stop seeing them. I start seeing myself. And I see it until even when I'm dreaming, seeing myself casting out demons in a stadium. I see myself commanding people to rise from witches. I see myself talking to tumors and they are vanishing. And after a while, the power begins to alight on it. And it begins to happen little by little. Because the imaginative realm provoke the intervention of spirits. Why will you not sleep and dream that you had sex? That's what is in your imaginative realm. Why will you not sleep and a demon is coming to press you? You have not imagined yourself casting out demons. And so when you go to the dream, they punish you. But for those of us who cast out demons, and know we do, even when they show up in the dream, we are chasing them. It's not a prayer point. You will waste your time praying prayers you shouldn't pray. Somebody wakes up, he says, please pray for me. I didn't know, I ate something in the dream. Well, if I eat in a dream and it's a delicious meal, I make sure I finish it. Because the scriptures I read, he said, he prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemy. I didn't read that the demons prepare table. And so even if it's a demon that brings it, he has wasted his resources. Because when I wake up, I'm going for another evangelism. That demon that brought the food, I will punish him in the evangelism field. Imaginations. What you think is what you are. That's why I say, as a man, thinketh in his heart, so is he. I have never imagined that a demon can torment me. I've never. And so even in the dream, it can't happen. You are a politician. You have never seen yourself sitting in the seat of the governor. You always see yourself running around in political rally and they are sharing money for you. Wake up. You will never become a leader. You will be a follower politician. You are a businessman and you have never seen yourself sitting with the elite of society. If God told me I'm a businessman, sometimes you will sit down and imagine yourself talking with Donald Trump. I want to buy one. You will be amazed when God comes upon those things. You will be shocked. People cannot go far in life because their imaginations will not allow them. They are programmed to only think the negative. They are programmed to only think weakness. And so even when God wants to help them, God can't. Let me show you three things about imagination quickly. Number one, God responds to imaginations, whether positive or negative. Watch what the Bible says. In Genesis chapter 6 from verse 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And he said that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. He wasn't necessarily accusing the actions of man. He said the imaginations of his heart was evil continually. And because God saw that his imagination is evil continually, he knows there is no way he can be righteous, no matter what you try. So long as his imagination is evil continually, he's evil. So God gave up on the earth because of the imaginations of men, not because of the actions of men. No matter how they try, because their imagination is evil, they will only be evil. And the Bible said, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved his heart. So God regretted that he created man, not because the man was necessarily doing something wrong, but because the imagination of his heart was continually evil. The moment God saw that, he knew that whatever he did, he can't help this man. Did you read the story of Judas Iscariot? The moment Satan entered his heart, Jesus said, that which you must do, do quickly. He never prayed for Judas. It's a waste. When a man's imagination is corrupt, that man is completely corrupt. If a man's imagination can still be rescued, then God can still do something about it. This is how powerful imaginations are. Why do you think the people of the world don't need to open an institution teaching immorality? They don't need to. So long as they bombard your space with immoral materials, you will be a better student than somebody who goes to the College of Immorality. Because they will create an imagination that will make every immoral spirit to find you. Genesis 11 verse 5 to 7. It said, and the Lord came down. The people planned to build a tower to heaven. Do you see how impossible it was? To think that you can, even in our advanced world of technology, people can't imagine that they can build a house that will enter heaven. He said, but these people plan to build a structure that will go to heaven. That is to tell you that no matter how elephant that project is, if your imagination can receive it, you can manifest it. This is the secret. And no matter how dwarf the project is, if your imagination can't bet it, you can never bet it. Naturally, it's impossible to build a house that will enter heaven. But here was a generation that contemplated it and imagined it. And the moment God saw it, the Bible said, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had builded. And the Lord said, behold, this people is one. They have all one language. And this that they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, what they have imagined to do. He said nothing. This is God talking. He looked at it from heaven. He came down. He saw that they were speaking one language. He saw that they were one. But what scared God was the fact that they had imagined it. And he said, because these people have imagined this, he said, nobody can stop them from doing it. So what we need to do quickly is to scatter them. Because if they continue imagining this thing together, in our own very eyes, they will do it. And God will sit on his throne one day and the skyscraper will burst. In order for this not to happen, let's not take the risk. Let's not take the risk. Scatter this man now. That's why what is happening in this country now, some people that are used to structure, they don't know what is happening. They don't know the synergy in imagination that is building already. In this country, all the kabas will scatter. See, it will happen like a joke. They won't believe it. They will say it's media, it's media. After a while, in their own constituency, when they come out to talk, they will stone them. They will now start wondering, what is going on here? Imagine momentum had built. And when it builds, nothing can stop it. You will be shocked. And you say, how shall these things be? The moment you imagine it, the power of the highest will come upon it. If the God of heaven is afraid that men have imagined things, and he said, let us quickly scatter them, does that not give you an idea how towering the power of imagination is? Does that not suggest to you God is not the reason why you are where you are? Your imagination is why you are where you are. If your imagination can change, you can change. Sometimes While I was growing up, sometimes I would travel to a conference. I'm not going there for impartation. I can receive any impartation from a message. I know how to do that. But I want to come to the conference, and then I will see how that 40,000 people will travel and gather around one man. And this man comes out and talks casually. And when he's done talking, he said, God bless you. And they will be excited and go home. I will ask myself, how are these things possible? How is it possible that people will leave, people will go? See, sometimes when we come for these conferences, we borrow money to attend. Go through all kinds of peri just to attend this conference 4 days. The places we sleep sometimes. The last one, a bunking meeting I went for in 2017, I slept on the floor in the field. And I was so excited, sleeping on the floor and seeing the crowd. I did it deliberately because I wanted my mind to be able to accommodate it. Because if your mind can accommodate it, you can be an evangelist for 40 years. But the highest people that will come to your crusade will be 500. And you will kill a cow giving thanksgiving that God was mighty. 500 people gathered. Thank God for 500. But somebody else is gathering 4 million. And that means 4 million is possible. But if you don't see it, you may never believe it. This is why you need to educate your imagination. You need to educate. Some of you who are leaders, you need to go back and read the biography of world leaders. Go and read their stories. Hear their biography. You are not trying to be educated to talk about them. You are trying to open your mind. That a boy who is born in a village can suddenly become the president of the greatest nation in the world. It will shift your mind. And when that happens, God can make you what you can imagine. God honors imaginations. And some people, no matter the prayer, no matter the impartation, no matter the fasting, if you like, relocate, go and live on a mountain. Your impact cannot go beyond your local government. Because you can't imagine it. This is what makes people to be called local champions. They are not local champions because they are in a local government. They are local champions because their mind is not bigger than their local government. Everything about them begins and ends with them. There are certain people that they are only limited to their tribe. Invite them anywhere, they'll go and wear their tribal clothes. They want to they are representing their tribe. If they want to talk, they must speak in their language. Because they are representing their tribe. They are not global. A global person doesn't stand for one tribe. No. When he's talking as an ambassador of Nigeria. Yoruba is his tribe. Igede is his tribe. Igala is his tribe. He's not into the sentiment of, I came from this place. When you go to some churches, it's one language song only they sing. And when you go to some ministries, it's only about Nigerians. When they talk, if they are doing intercession from January to December, it's about Nigeria. And so if you like, relocate to London, only Nigerians will meet you there. If you like, relocate to Italy, only Nigerians will meet you there. Because your mind is limited to Nigeria. It's imagination. The power to take the world may be there, but the imagination is limited. Some people will never grow. Even at 40, they say they are young men. They are children. They are small people. And they think it's humility. And so they remain at that dwarf level. Meanwhile, at the age of 17, David was ready to be a king. And you are 40 years old. You are still running around. You see them wear short knickers and singlet. They are running everywhere. You ask, they say they are simple. They are not simple. They are not simple. They are going out in the public. They wear one polo shirt and wear one short nigger with easy wear. Hey, how far? Where is that? And you want to rule the world. You want to lead the world. Go and find out how kings dress. Go and find out how kings talk. You can't imagine yourself in that order. You will walk for a long time. And when God successfully blesses you, you will be a good servant. You will never lead anybody. Because your imagination will not allow it. Does this sound simple? But these are the secrets that makes great. These are the secrets that birth great manifestations. When God wanted to visit Abraham, in Genesis 15 from verse 5 to 6, he told him, go out, look at the stars. He said, as numerous as these stars, so shall thy seed be. He was helping his mind. The man already believes God, but his mind cannot receive it. So God took him out. He said, go and look at these stars. I created these stars. I made them numerous. The same power that made these stars can make your seed to be this numerous. And immediately, the Bible said, Abraham believed God. And he said it was counted to him for righteousness. God had to work on his mind. Our minds are locked. That's why we remain in poverty. That's why we remain in pains. That's why we remain small. If you want to become big, the first point of reference is not a mountain, it's your mind. If your mind doesn't change, if you like, go to the mountain where Babalola prayed. And many people go there on a yearly basis. And it is good. But they will never become anything in their generation, because their mind will forbid them, even if the power and the mantle is given to them. Imagination. Too important. God honors it. Demons honor it. That's how it works. I give you one last scripture. When God told us to worship him, because he knows the power of imagination, he told us not only to worship him with our heart, he told us to also worship him with our imagination. Because he knows that if your imaginative chamber is overtaken, you are gone. Luke 10:27. He said, and the answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. That word is imagination. I'm telling you, see, you will never manifest, no matter how spiritual you are, if your imagination does not allow you. If your imagination is defeated, you are already defeated. Jesus can be living in the same compound with you will still go nowhere. Is that powerful? Because God can only function to the degree that your imagination allows. Too many people are enslaved because of their myopic thinking and imaginative power. They think by praying, by fasting, by quoting scriptures, or by creating relationships, they will go anywhere. They can't. They can't. Even if they meet the president of their country, the president will send them to their local government chairman. He will say, please help this person. I want to help him, but I can't help him at this level. The president will call your local government chairman and say, help this person. That's where his mind can permit. This is why many never manifest. Number two, you leave your imagination. People blame people, blame systems for the outcome of their lives. I tell you today, if there's anything you want to blame for the failure of a life, don't blame anybody. Nobody is entitled to your manifestation. Don't blame any system. That condition you are in that you fail, there are many people who were in that same condition and excel. If you want to blame anything in your life, blame your imagination. Because the outcome of your life is a product of your progressive imagination. People's outcome are a manifestation of their imagination. I'm telling you why people don't manifest. Even after preparing for destiny and for ministry, preparing for business, preparing for leadership, they still don't manifest. Because their imagination will insist they don't. There was a time I started arguing with myself. I said, come on. Young ministers in the West, they give their hearts to Christ. 2 years, they are already international missionaries. Traveling from one nation to another. They start up ministries that are doing well. And some of them, you hear their testimony. And they tell you, 3 years ago, the Lord encountered me and it's been glorious. And I see ministers in Nigeria and in Africa. After 15 years, they have started process. I say, why don't our own process end? It's only when somebody is 38 years old that is waking up to start destiny. You see a 40-year-old person. At 35, people are retiring. Meanwhile, in Africa, people are starting at 40. I said, what is going on? And I discovered our mentality is our greatest limitation. I'm not talking against process. But nobody say process must be 15 years. Because that thing you are doing that you are calling 15 years process, somebody else went through that process in 2 years. Your process may complete, but your imagination may keep you there. And it is so bad that it's a systemic thing. When you rise up to fulfill your destiny, everybody heaps at you and says, shut down, you are ambitious. Ambitious? Have you looked around the world? Sometimes you go for a conference where professors from Nigeria, NUC sponsors them, and you see every delegate has white beard. They have been professors and they have taught in the university for 32 years. When they walk like this from Nigeria and they enter the conference, they will now meet 23-year-old boys. Hello, how you doing? He's representing United States of America. Meanwhile, here is Dean of Studies. As we go, he's Dean of Studies. And they will hold their vice and walk. 70-year-old men, they are the ones that represent Africa. But when you meet in the same conference, sometimes the speaker is 24 years old. He will come and they'll say, this is a doctor of nuclear physics. And he's presenting a paper. And these people will see that and still come back here. Because the imagination is limited. They won't allow anybody to go anywhere. That's why witchcraft is one of the ingredients of the gospel of Africa. Because our imagination has limited us. Because it took you 60 years to achieve it does not mean everybody should do it in 60 years. Because it took you 15 years to do it does not mean everybody must do it in 15 years. Allow people move at the pace that God has allocated to them. Imagination can become a grave. This is why you must spend time to make sure you think right. Somebody wrote a book. He said, think and grow rich. He didn't say walk and grow rich. So true. Think. When a Nigerian child is going to school, he's laboring to have degrees so that he will have a good job. So we train to become servants. But the Western world trained to become entrepreneurs and leaders. You find somebody has a degree, he wants 2 masters and 1 PhD. The reason is to give him more job prospect. He can't think of owning anything because the imagination will not allow the person. He made the first class. Why is he celebrating? It's not because of the knowledge. He's celebrating because when he comes with a first class, he will have opportunity to get the job. So we labor to become servants. Our imagination will never allow us to think like leaders. And this is why all the fasting, the prayers, the prophecies, yet we go nowhere. Because the imagination has become a grief. You become what you think. You are a product of your imaginations. In Jeremiah 9 verse 14, he said, concerning the people, he said they have walked after the imagination of their own heart. They have walked after the imagination of their own heart. In fact, in Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24, God said, they disobeyed my word and choose to walk after their imaginations. This is why I told you, for you to manifest, you must internalize the word of God until the word of God becomes your contemplation. If the word of God is not the pictorial expression of your mind, you will never become what God said. God can say something, you can do the other. If your imagination is at variance with the word of God, you will do your imagination, not the word of God. No matter how you fear God. Have you not seen many people who are struggling with sin? They don't want to sin anymore, but their imagination is full of immorality. So even though they want to serve God because they know what God said, they have not inundated their minds with the word of God. So they keep struggling because they will end up doing their imagination if their imagination is put side by side with the word of God. But if your imagination aligns with the word of God, you become the manifestation of the word of God. This is why many prepare, but they never manifest. I have traveled around this country by the mercies of God. I have seen men with terrible dimensions of the miraculous. Terrible dimension. Sometimes you find them, they are in one small village close to a rock or a mountain, and they are raising the dead there, casting out demons. And then when you ask them, they say, no, John the Baptist was in the wilderness. John the Baptist, that they must be here. They will change the world. If God says to them, see the problem now. If God says to be there, that's fine. But if God doesn't say so, sir, think the globe. Think global. You will make more impact for Jesus when you are global. God is not against you going global. And these people are raising the dead there. Every day they meet you, they say, brother, the ministry of the Lord is in need. Why will you not remain in need if you are in the forest? Because your partners will be lions and tigers. And I'm not speaking that if God says be there, be there. You can turn that place to a heaven. Don't get me wrong, right? John was in the wilderness. The whole Jerusalem and Judea went to him. But if God didn't tell you to be there, be strategic. Think the world and you pitch your tent where you can have more impact. It's not ambition. I told you the difference between ambition and impact. Impact is to glorify God and to improve others. Ambition is to glorify self and to improve self. They are two different things. Right? Your life is actually reflecting your imagination. Somebody called me today and said, she doesn't know why. Demons are attacking her. She's weak. Nothing is working. I said, well, that is the manifestation of your imagination. If we can change how you think, your situation will change. But if we don't change how you think, and I pray for you, next month you will still call me to pray for you because the demons will come back. Jesus said, when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, it goes about in dry places. If it doesn't find where to go, it will return. If it is empty, no matter how tidy it is, he said, it will come with seven more wicked demons. And say, worse will be the state of that person than the beginning thereof. When you look at yourself in the mirror, just nod your head and say, this is the summation of my imagination. When you go through situations in life, tell yourself, this is the summation of my imagination. God is not favorably disposed to one person much more than he is to the other. Everybody is living out the boundary that their imaginations have created. Finally, our imaginations either limit us or make us unstoppable. I read for you already, Genesis 11 verse 6. God said this thing they have imagined to do. He said no one shall be able to stop them. You are stopped because you imagined it. If you tell yourself, come rain, come shine, nothing can stop me. Nothing on earth can stop you. Every time you find a man who is stopped in destiny, he cooperated with the one who stopped him. He may not know because many times he's unconscious. But this is what the Bible teaches. He said, what the people have imagined to do, he said, nothing and nobody can stop them. That means your limitation in life is an alarm system of your imagination. If you imagine that you are unstoppable, your prayer, your walk with God will energize it. But if you think you are limited, if you think you can be stopped, then you are finished. Somebody called me and said, things are not working well. Is it because of my covering? I said, well, that is African gospel. Because when I check my scripture, your covering is your faith. He said, take up the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to what? Shield all the fiery darts of the enemy. Your spiritual father and your spiritual authority are guardians. They are there to help you grow in Christ. They are there to point you to Jesus. He said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayers, until Christ be formed in you. So the spiritual authority is to direct you to Jesus. The day the spiritual authority becomes your soul covering, he has become your God. Your covering is your faith in Christ, expressed through the word of God. And so if you say you are failing because of your covering, why not try another one? I've been under covering before where four people died in my family. I would be foolish to say it's because of the covering. It's African gospel. People don't build their faith. They don't take responsibility. They lie down and sleep and say they are under covering. And because the covers too are interested in keeping them as babes, they tell them, give your offering, give tithe, give prophetic seed, you are sealed. And then when there are two, three testimonies, we over-amplify them. You are giving a testimony of 10 people among 10,000. That's not a representation of that number. Africa. Africa, wake up. Our imagination is limiting us. Praise God. How many of you are changing your imagination from today? Now, you know, I thank God for all He's done for me, but what I see, I've not started. You will never catch me go to an airport and say I'm snapping myself, or I sit in the plane, I'm snapping. Would snap? I may think of snapping when I buy a private jet. Because I'm paying and sitting on somebody else's plane. Then I'm shouting and snapping. Sometimes you sit at the airport, they delay your flight for 4 hours. After 4 hours, the appointment is already missed, everything messed up. And thank God that I'm able to fly, but I'm going somewhere. Thank God that I'm able to eat, but I'm going somewhere. Because I see the day where I will feed people in thousands. So thank God that I'm able to feed, but I'm going somewhere. Thank God that I'm able to preach to people in an auditorium where I can pay for the facility and buy this, buy that, but I'm going somewhere. A day will come when nations will gather at the feet of Christ and I will come to teach them. My imagination has gone that far. That's how you think. Thank God for the business you have, but there's more. There's more. There's more. Because God responds to your imagination. Thank God I pray for people, they are slain. I see the deaf ears open. I see blind eyes open. I see tumors leave, but there is more. I'm waiting for that day when, as I'm walking into the crusade, there are 15 witch ears. And when I'm done talking, there is no shouting. I'm just singing a hymn. And I walk towards them, I say, get up. I walk towards the other one, I say, Jesus loves you. Get up. I'm not here, here, stand up. No, no. I'm a ruler in the realm of sickness. I'll just walk like Peter. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And they will be standing. And Jesus will be glorified. That's what I see. That's what I see. I thank God for what He's doing. But I see more. I see more. Paul said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen. And much more than what I see, imagine that day when I will show up in heaven. And the angels will stand up and say, welcome, General. I imagine that day when Jesus will look at me and give me the crown of life and say, you have done well. You have done well. I trusted you to win Africa and you set Africa on fire. I trusted you to set the world on fire and you set the world on fire. That's why I cannot celebrate that I went to Kenya and people gathered. No, that's not the assignment. That's rehearsals. I went to Pakistan, people gathered. That's rehearsals. The day we come, like Billy Graham, I'm talking here. 20 stadiums are packed. I'm not in that country, but a stadium is packed. That's the journey. A day will come, nations will be on fire. And presidents of nations will say, speak a word over our country. That's where we are going. Where you will sit in your room and you will write, they will say the Chronicles of Michael. And you are talking to Zimbabwe. You are talking to Canada. You are talking to South Africa. And they will carry it and keep it for 50 years. Like Paul Elton. Paul Elton spoke about the revival of Nigeria. And everybody prophesying revival said, Paul Elton said. Paul Elton said. Paul Elton. That means he rewrote the destiny of Nigeria. Nigeria will travel in the direction of the utterances of Paul Elton. That's not a preacher. That's an icon in eternity. That's a patriarch. Those kind of men, they don't die. Their wars become living waters. It flows through a generation. The things they uttered casually, maybe it was not even in a big conference, but he said, the Islamic knot will fall before the cross. And he said concerning Boko, he said, the day we come,
the revival will begin from there, and it will go against the sons of the bond women. And he said, in that day, the deliverance of Nigeria will come. No matter the vision you see today, it can be contrary to what Paelton said. What a man! What a man! That means he entered heaven, collected the lexicon of Nigeria, and wrote the destiny. That's what they call ministry. Ministry is not 10 people are listening to me, 2,000, 30,000 are listening to me. That's good, but there's more. Because when you walk from time, even in eternity, you are an icon. There are men that angels stand up to salute. Paul said, have you not heard? He said that we will judge angels. How can a man say you will judge angels? That's not a man. He has become an immortal. You think you are an apostle like Paul? No. No. This is how they think. These men taught wonders, and they became a wonder. Meanwhile, you are there. You are there. Nothing has started. You think you have arrived. Your imagination is quite small. It's quite small. You don't have to look it now, brothers. That's why your imagination is your world. Create it. Sometimes sit down. Gather 10 scriptures. Use it to construct something in your mind. Think on those scriptures until it becomes your thought pattern. And when you are done thinking it, blast in tongue for a while. Energize those thoughts. When you are done energizing those thoughts, wake up, dress up, wear your tie, square your shoulder, go out like a more than a conqueror. When the devil comes, don't even bother distracting yourself with it. No. You are going through a condition that looks like things are not working. He said, you shall lay up gold like dust. You sit in your room, you say, I shall lay up gold like dust. I shall lay up gold like dust. I shall lay up gold like dust. I shall lend to many nations. I shall not borrow. I shall lend to... See, you say it until you close your eye and you see America asking you for help. And when you start seeing it, you start prophesying. You start praying in the Holy Ghost. When you are done praying, wake up, go out, and say, weeping may endure for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. This one too will pass. My destination is not here. This is a transit point. I can't cry when I'm in transit. My goal is the destination, and I have seen it. And because I have seen it, it must come to pass. This is how to live your life. This is why many never manifest. Their imagination became a grave. And so no matter how God tries, he can't help them. Two ways to build your imagination. Number one, focus only on what God tells you until it becomes your reality. Focus on it. Isaiah 26 verse 3, he said, he shall keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Focus. Don't let media paint your world for you. Don't let the news agencies paint your word for you. The news media wants to paint fear. They tell you, somebody wanted to come to Nigeria and he asked me, where you are? Are bombs not falling? Because what the news painted, it looks as if Nigeria will collapse in 3 days. I told him, well, I'm prospering in Nigeria. And if you come, you will be safe. Because you are not safe because of where you are. You are safe because God keeps you. The media will create fear. Have you not noticed that good news don't go viral? Only negative news go viral. It is designed that way because man thinks fear in order to stay safe. But when the word of God comes, it brings another paradigm. And so what you need to do, focus on the word. People may die, not you. Because what God told you, it will play out up until 2060. And so while we are yet praying for banditry, you are not praying for yourself. Because you are already in 2060. You are seeing yourself there. So you are praying for banditry so that, to stop. So that the weak among us will be safe. If it's for you, you will be here till 2070. You have seen it. It will happen. Because God gave you an assignment that will linger up until 2070. You create it. You may preach it and not experience it. You may talk it and not experience it until you visualize it, until it becomes your reality. That's when you will walk in it. Your world is not Africa. Your world is in your mind. Because you can be in Africa and turn Africa to heaven. And you can be in Nigeria. You can be in America and be in hell. There are many people who are sleeping under bridges in America. It's only a man who has no understanding that thinks I will escape to the US and survive. Some ran to Canada and they put them where the temperature is minus 15 degrees. It's colder than their fridge. The moment they landed, after 1 week, they started looking for a way to come back because they suddenly discover they are living in a fridge. For 2 weeks, you can't go out. Everywhere is covered with snow. Your house, there is a heap of ice block. You now build heater in your room. And even the heater can't survive. When the day is very hot, it's 2 degrees Celsius. They now start crying. One of my friends ran to Russia. That was like 10 years ago. For 6 months, he only drank Coke and bread. The next thing, he was looking for how to come back. America can be hell for somebody. And Nigeria can be heaven for somebody. Because your world is not a physical location. It's in your mind. What you create from your mind is what will manifest. And the way to do it is to focus only on what God told you. Don't bother about what somebody else is doing. Don't bother about what is going on. If they complain and you need to intercede, help them in prayer. But focus on your lane. Focus on your lane. That becomes your reality. He said, "He shall keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed." That's how you build your imagination. I can't think anything outside conquering my word for Jesus. I can't. My wife knows. Come to my room 2 a.m. I'm watching something. Somebody is saying something. I want to hear something. There is a momentum I want to build. I'm watching somebody doing something. I'm just seeing something. The other day I said, I will soon start entering the West. No visa. Can I tell you a story? The first international passport I did expired. I didn't go to any country. The passport is as new as I got it. The whole page, no one stamp on it. When it finished, I got the second one. And then now, I started thinking of invading America. And so I said, let me find out how the Americans think, especially the young people. So I went, I said, how do I enter the mind of the people? So I said, okay, let's find out people who are influencers. So I checked on Steve Harvey. Asked Steve Harvey. So I started watching the questions they were asking. And so I shuffled the youth of America from. See, that's how be an overcomer, please. Don't just go online and waste your time. I was discussing with my wife recently. I said, I want to find out where the world is going to. And I discovered there are 4 ways of finding out where the world is going to. Either God tells you, or you study history, because everything that happens is a cycle. It will repeat. So it's either God tells you, or you study history. And when you see what is happening now, you can predict the pattern, because it has happened before. Nothing is new under the sun. Or number 3, find out from those who act movies. Most of the movies you watch, they are either predictions of what will happen or they are manifestations of what is already happening. How many of you know that COVID was acted over 10 years ago? But because I didn't have time to watch all the movies, I now asked myself, this research, how do I run it? So I went to a site, they call it, I won't call it, somebody will go and distract himself. What they do is that they summarize movies. And so I picked them at random. And I came up with 5 things that will happen and where the world is going. Number 1, one thing you will see predominant in movies is that they are trying to beat time. So the emphasis is time travel. Number 2 is genetic engineering. they are trying to modify the human species. Number three is moral decadence. They are trying to bring perversion into society and make it normal. This is what is educating the world. And that's why you may think it's not so. In few years, you'll be shocked that these things will become what will happen. So when we preach the corrosive way we are preaching, it's because we have seen where the world is going. We have seen that in a short while, if what you call immorality will be one of the most physiotherapeutic exercises that doctors will recommend. When you are not doing well, they'll say, have sex twice a week. You didn't know what I said. It will become exercise. So when you are telling somebody that immorality is sin, he will look at you. Where are you from? Which world is are you? You will be like the alien because it will be part of society. They will call it one of the most flexible exercise. You won't do press up anymore. They will recommend immorality as exercise. And that time, even gay will be so natural that if men and men are talking affection, is it boy and girl you are talking about? Perversion. You see their flags, you see their symbols, everything is a message. Christians are the only ones who don't know what is happening. All of that is to help your mind. So when you are preaching a message, you are not just addressing a congregation, you are talking to the future. I preached a message on marriage 2 days ago. If you don't have respect for the word of God, don't hear it. You will look for me and stone me. Corrosive. Because the standard of God must be returned. If not, in the next 10 years, this God will bless you. You will buy a car. If that's what we are preaching now, the name of Jesus will become a strange name. You will need a newspaper to announce it. Imagination. Build it. Invest in your imagination so much. Invest. When God speaks to you, sometimes write it down. I heard what Dr. Paul said. He said when he needed church to grow from, I think, 5,000 to 20,000, it was an impossible feat. He wrote 20,000 on every door in his house. He's trying to educate his imagination that this thing is possible. He's going to the bathroom, he sees 20,000. Even on the roof, when he lies on the bed, he will see 20,000. When they cross 20,000, he didn't know again. Nobody appears. There are protocols that make it happen. Most of us, our imaginations are so weak, we think nothing. Only the garbage we pick from movies and the things society throw at us form our process, our thinking process. And this is why our life is not just up and down, it's also zigzag. Become very sensitive about what enters your mind. Your imagination is your world. So how do you build it? Focus on what God tells you. Number two, how do you build imagination? In the place of prayer. The prayer altar is an atmosphere of heaven. So the utterances of God and the visions of God flow through it. That's why the Bible said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it said, be anxious for nothing, but by all things, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he said, the peace of God that surpasses knowledge will garrison your mind. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he said, ask of me, I will answer. And he didn't stop there. After I'm done answering, he said, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. The reason we bring people to the place of prayer is to help them visualize what God is saying and to visualize their future. Because if they don't pray, the movie industry will paint a picture for them. If they don't pray, the society will paint a picture for them. When we pray here on Mondays, first 2 hours we are praying without prayer point. What we are trying to do is to bring you into that incubator where destinies are painted. And we have seen people say strange things. Some people are praying and suddenly God reveals to them the future he has planned for them. And their lives begin to go in that direction. How do you build it? Your imagination? By prayer. Make prayer a lifestyle. That's why I tell you, prayer is not just I canceled 3 hours, I canceled 4 hours. No. When you pray, make sure there is feedback. That's when prayer actually begins. Because it's a dialogue. When feedback begin to come, then something has started happening. Your destiny can be painted for you from the prayer altar. And finally, when prophetic words are going forth, it built your imagination. You may come in tired and weak. Suddenly, you hear that your lifting is now. Pick that word and run with it. Somebody shared a testimony with me 2 days ago. What happened? He showed up, and when the word of the Lord came, he caught it. The moment he went home, 2 days later, somebody called him and said, "You are a man of God. Take this property. Use it. It's yours. Don't pay for it." In Abuja here. He didn't carry a poster say, "I'm a preacher." No. The person called him, "You are a man of God. Take this property." In Abuja. Gave him, don't worry, we'll share the testimony on Sunday. Gave him a land with a building and said, "Go and use it for the work of God." The guy now was calling me that, "Sir, how do I do it? I'm not ready to start ministry. What do I do?" Meanwhile, there are many pastors in this country that are on 40 days fasting. "Lord, give us a land. The land must come. The land must come." But no imagination to warrant it. Somebody has caught a word. Before he started praying, God has answered. Isaiah 65 verse 24. He said, "While they are talking, I will answer. Before they speak, I will appear." That's the realm of that imaginative power. You are a man of God. Take this. I told myself, I need to go back now and incubate some more, because maybe I've exhausted the things I saw. Because what I need is 10 hectares of land. So that I need to bet that word here quickly. 10 hectares. And don't get me wrong. Hope you heard I spoke prayer before I spoke about this. Before you now say, we say some people are praying, nothing is happening. That's not what I'm saying. You also pick it in the place of prayer. But over and above that, prayer is one out of many ways of catching it. So number one, focus on what God has already told you. Number two, incubate in the place of prayer. And then number three, be sensitive to prophetic utterances. Prophetic words can shift you from the pit to the throne. Is that powerful and swift? And so when God is speaking or prophetic words are moving, open your spirit, especially if you trust the vessel that is talking. Something can just collide with you from nowhere, and you'll be shocked how your world will turn around. Imagination is one of the things that bet your manifestation. Please, don't let anybody just throw anything into your mind. When people are gossiping, leave them. Don't hear it. It will darken your mind. When people are plotting evil, ignore them. Don't be part of it. You are subjugating your destiny. You are subverting the possibilities of God for your life. Don't let anything darken your mind. Keep your mind open. Your life will reveal what your mind hid within you. Your outcomes will be a revelation of what you have been thinking and dwelling upon. And finally, the third thing that makes for manifestation is obedience to what God said to you. Number one is to believe it, thereby receiving it. Number two is to focus on it until it becomes your predominant mindset, consciousness, and imagination. And then number three is to obey it. There are many things God will tell you about destiny that will require you doing something. That's why I told you preparation alone is not enough. You are prepared for 10 years. Now God wants to move you forward. And he just tells you, go and support that widow. It may not look like 10 days fasting. But as you support that widow, you will be sure the angels will be mobilized to move you forward. Because many times God is looking for an excuse to quickly lift you. But your disobedience will negate it. The reason is because disobedience provokes provokes God's commitment to you as a person. God is not a respecter of persons, but God is sensitive to those who obey him. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22, the Lord had chosen Saul to be king, but here was Saul about to be rejected. When Samuel gave him the word of the Lord, he disobeyed God and went to carry out sacrifice. And this was what Samuel told him. Samuel said to Saul, he said, had the Lord great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He said, behold, to obey the Lord is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. Many people have done so much sacrifice in the house of God or in society, but everything God told them to do, they refuse to do. And so the more they are doing, the more they are weary. The more they are doing, the more they are dying. How can you be serving God and the quality of your life is going down? This is how. You are sacrificing so much for God's kingdom, but the things God told you personally to do, you don't do them. And so you find some people, they give, they fall into debt. You find some people, they pray, they are caught into danger. Because the little instructions, they negate them. Those instructions, Samuel is teaching us today that they are more powerful than all of our sacrifices put together. Look at what verse 23 said. 1 Samuel 15:23. It said, for rebellion, outright disobedience to the voice of God is as witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. That act of disobedience is both iniquity, witchcraft, and idolatry at the same time. And he said, because of this, even though God prepared you to be king, you have been rejected. This is why somebody can fast for 10 years and still not fulfill destiny. This is why somebody can serve a man for 14 years and still not fulfill destiny. He has paid the price that qualifies him to manifest to his generation. But he disobeyed the word of the Lord that came to him. That word will cause God to reject you. And sometimes God doesn't reject you because he's angry. Sometimes God rejects you because your disobedience would have quenched his spirit. So the energy in your spirit that you bring forth dies. It diffuses. And then you are wondering, why can't I rise up anymore and study? I know in this season I'm supposed to study. The energy is gone down. Why can't I pray at night anymore? The energy is gone down. Because when you disobeyed God, it punctured your internal energy. And you find out that the prayer and the study you need to do in that season to qualify to address your generation, the energy is not there. Somebody else will do it, and God will have no choice but use that person. That's why the Bible said, quench not the spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not. It is disobedience. Refusing to do what God tells you to do. That's what quenches the spirit in your life. And when the spirit is quenched in your life, you are going nowhere in your destiny. No matter what advantage you have in the flesh, it will be a disadvantage. Quench not the spirit. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, it said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou mightest tear the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. How do you stir the gift of God that is in you? It's in alignment. Continuous alignment. Some of you, God tell you, go and serve this person. No matter what the person does to you, keep at it. That's the commandment of the Lord for you. Some of you, God tells you, pray at night. No matter how tired you are, better sleep on the altar. Some of you, God tells you, give to the orphanage. Even if it is your last cash, give it and trust God. Because that obedience to that voice of God. I'm not saying what you are preached into now. I'm saying what God told you as a conviction. Don't put it and bury it under your pillow. Keep at it. And the more you keep doing it, the more you are fanning to flame the power of God in your spirit. And a time comes, you will discover you have become so great in the sight of God that your ranking will qualify you for anything God wants to do in that generation. Men don't manifest because of disobedience. And to make things worse, some, their rebellion does not only quench the spirit, it grieves him. It grieves the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, it says, grieve not the spirit that is in you. It's a dangerous thing to disobey what God tells you. It may look very simple. Sometimes you leave a service, as you are going home, you say, wait for 5 minutes. Very simple instruction. that looks so powerless compared to the many things you are doing for God. He said to obey is better than sacrifice. That obedience is superior to that your bogus sacrifice. It's better to obey God and learn sacrifice than to sacrifice and disobey God. You will be rejected. This is how the kingdom works. You find a man that will manifest and constantly manifest. He's a man that knows how to receive the proceeding word of God. He knows what to do to catch that word and keep it. You find a man that manifests in his generation is a man that carries the consciousness that is consistent with what God told him, regardless of what he's going through. You want to find a man that can manifest in a generation is a man that is quick to obey what God tells him in every season he finds himself. These things are superior to staying under an anointing. These things are superior to laying on of hands. These things are superior to most of the things we magnify. This is why, while we are yet doing these other things, our lives still go nowhere. And we are wondering, God, did you lie? No, he didn't lie. I was sharing with somebody earlier today. I said, when God spoke to Moses on Horeb, Moses didn't go home. Moses left for Egypt from Mount Horeb. The wife met him on the way. That's the level of swift obedience that these people have before God. The moment God spoke, the guy left there straight for Egypt. And you think such a man will not be great in the sight of God? Some of us, God speaks to us, we know it is God. And then we wait for 2 months. Ah! You don't know that this world is timed. You don't know that people's manifestations are timed. You don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. You have time to fulfill destiny. This is why you must be quick to obey God. Because if it were eternity, you would have taken your time. Since it is time-based reality, your delay can cost you your place. Listen, nobody may lay hands on you in your lifetime, but you will still succeed and be very great. Nobody laid hands on Abraham. Abraham knew how to receive the word of God. He knew how to keep the consciousness and he knew how to obey. When God told Abraham, sacrifice Isaac your son, your only son whom thou lovest, Abraham didn't tell Sarah. Because he didn't want a negotiation around it. Let's discuss. Which year should we do it? Early in the morning, he grabbed the boy and ran away. And went to kill him. It was in that obedience that God said, now I know. What do you mean, sir? How can you say now you know? Are you not the omniscient God? Your obedience is what tells God that you are ready for manifestation. He said, now I know that you fear me. In blessings, I will bless you. He waited to see. Most of us have delayed our manifestation through our consistent disobedience. And then we think somebody laying hands on us will excuse it. They will pour a drum of oil on you. You will collect suit, oh. You will collect suit. They will give you a big suit. You will not even trim it. You will wear it like that and say, this is prophetic. You will wear funny suit for 30 years. After 30, you will discover it's not by wearing suit that men become great in this kingdom. If you don't obey God, those other ones are caricature. Bow your heads and talk to me. Have you learned something tonight? Have you learned something tonight? It's time to go and practice. You know, I began on Sunday by telling you that some of you, the things God told you 10 years ago, you need to go and excavate it. Because you will not hear the next thing until you obey the last one. Some of you need to go and excavate it. Some of you have even forgotten the visions you saw 5 years ago. You need to go and excavate it. And sit on it every day until it becomes your consciousness. If you need to record it on your phone and put it on an earpiece and be hearing it, do it. That's where your life is going. Your life is not going to Lagos. Your life is going in the direction of what God told you. And so you must believe it. You must make it your consciousness and you must obey it. If you do this, nothing on earth can stop you. There are too many great destinies being stopped. I can assure you that most of the evangelists that should change this world, their disobedience have kept them somewhere. I can assure you that most of the leaders that should change this country, how can a country made of 200 million people not have leaders at, you know, an array of leaders that they don't know which one to choose? Today, all of us are singing one name because of the scarcity of leadership in a country of 200 million people. Because too many persons are being stopped by their disobedience. You want to ask the Lord that, Lord, in my season, I will manifest. You want to make that prayer your prayer tonight. Father, in my season, I will manifest. Quietly bend your head and talk to Him. Talk to Him. Don't be emotional. For some of you, the Holy Ghost will be gracious enough to bring you the visions He showed you 10 years ago. Habakkuk said, I will write it because I don't want to forget it. And so that I will run with it, and any other person who sees it will also run with it. Somebody is working in a bank, and God told you, start a fish farm. That was 4 years ago. You have not done anything about it. And when the word came, you knew it was now. You may be an assistant manager, but you will not be fulfilled. Because God told you, start a fish farm. Start an aquarium. Start a fish pond. You have not done it. That's why you will struggle through life. And if that season passes you, even if you open 10 fish ponds later, you will not succeed. Somebody is an evangelist. God told you, open a school. You say, no. The purpose we have is to take the word. When the wisdom of God speaks, men must know how to align. Thank you, precious Father. Thank you, precious Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. Father, tonight I ask, every word and every vision you have revealed to us, cause those visions and words to be awakened in our spirit again. And Lord, I ask that the wisdom required to keep these realities a consciousness until they inundate us. Lord, release that wisdom graphically now in the name of Jesus. And precious Father, the grace to obey. It doesn't matter how old you are. You may have missed it 40 years ago. It's not too late to realign. And some of us have not even started. Then you have an advantage. The grace to obey. In the name of Jesus, receive it now. Thank you, precious Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Give the Lord a big hand.
We're supposed to take some questions because these are real life issues that our man of God have been inspired of the Lord to bring to our attention again. While he was teaching, somebody was so burdened on him, and he brought this question. I wanted him to answer it so that the person can be helped. So there's a mic by your side. The person is asking, he said, if you have grieved the Holy Ghost totally or totally disobeying God, that you can't pray at night or study. He says, sir, do you know what to do to come back to God fully? I'm paraphrasing his question.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, these are simple things. The first thing you do is to genuinely repent.
right? We have shortcomings, and we keep up shortcomings. We are growing. We are all in the process of maturity. And so when you know, if the Holy Ghost is grieved, you know. The Bible said, he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. You will know. You will lose your peace immediately. Unless you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So you know you've grieved the Holy Spirit. What you do is, number one, genuinely repent. Acknowledge your shortcomings and repent from it. And then number two, ask him to help you. Because even while you are yet standing, he was the one keeping you standing. The Bible said, him that standeth should be careful lest he falls. And everyone standing is standing because God is helping him stand. The Bible said that you shouldn't condemn another man's servant. Because whether he standeth or falleth, it is his master God that keeps him standing. So, two things you do basically, genuinely, honestly, repent from that offense and tell the Lord to help you not to go back into it. And then also ask him to help you to stand. Ask him to lift you up. And the Holy Ghost is gracious and benevolent. He is always there to forgive and to restore. The Bible said God is patient to us, not unto condemnation, but rather unto repentance and coming to the knowledge of the truth. So God is ever gracious to restore. If you repent and you ask him to help you, he will help you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Can we celebrate Jesus? I chose to read this question out because I believe most of us are guilty of this. And many of us, the Holy Ghost didn't even tell you. You were the one that woke up with you. I'm going on 40 days. After 3 days, you are caught eating. Some of you heard the revival message. Say, oh, from this night, I'll start praying. And the Holy Spirit, you know, he came to me three nights ago. And he said, I thought you say you were going on a retreat. I was so shocked. Because I said it, he has been on that place waiting for me and I never showed up.
As you mature in the things of the Spirit, what you learn to do is to be yielded to God. He will tell you what you need to do for every season. But usually what we do is that, because we are not completely yielded to God, when we discover we are far from God, we come with zeal and we want to encourage God. And then we start boasting to the Lord, Father, in the next 90 days, I am on this mountain. He is hearing you. Spirits are not emotional beings. They are legalistic beings.
Yes,
and so when you say it, he will hold you to your word.
Yes.
And as far as it's concerned, you cannot but do what you have said because you have booked an appointment and
yes,
he will keep to it.
Yes.
You do it over time. You don't do it, your words become light. And so when you speak to a circumstance, nothing happened. You make a declaration, nothing happened. Because you and him know that your words mean nothing to you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So instead of walking with zeal, coming to say things that you know you will not do, it's better to learn yieldedness. If you learn yieldedness, the Holy Ghost will prescribe for you what you need to do per time, and you will grow. Some of us here, what we need is 30 minutes prayer every day. As you are praying that 30 minutes prayer and the Holy Ghost is helping you, he will graduate you to 1 hour. You may come for a prayer meeting, we may target 10 hours, we may stretch you for 10 hours. It will improve your capacity. But when you go back, keep growing as the Holy Ghost is leading you. You will discover you will grow from 30 minutes to 1 hour, to 2 hours, to 3 hours, and it will be a growth. But if you hear that somebody prayed 10 hours, and instead of telling God, help me, I want to attain that level, you now yield to your pride. And say, Father, if this person is praying for 10 hours, I'm going 15 hours. God bless you.
Celebrate Jesus. Are you being educated? Are you learning something? We give God praise. Many hands are coming up. I think, sir, with your permission, next Bible studies.
Next Bible study will shorten the teaching. And then we'll take time to answer questions. And I will share real life situations with you. In this kingdom, you have to allow God to help you. Let me tell you a story. When I started teaching Pastor Victor and the rest in the Bible school around 2017, Victor came out to pray. And Victor, he was my student, teach them, lay hands on them. But Victor came out to pray, and Victor started praying in the evening, 9 p.m. And then he prayed till 12 noon the next day.
As if that is not enough, the next day, then the next day now, the next week, he prayed for 18 hours. When I came to the tent, they said somebody in the Bible school is praying for 18 hours. 18 hours? I've never prayed stretch for 18 hours. How am I laying hands on these people? What am I teaching them? Are you following? For he is an intercessor. I pray and intercede, but my primary calling is not intercession. You see that this work we are doing now, the Monday prayers we do, I say, handle it. It's not because I don't pray. I can be in my room for 7 days talking to the Lord. But I can't pray in tongues on high frequency for 24 hours. I'm not an intercessor. The energy I have, I use some of them to study. Do you get? But if I show up and say, no, if this person in the Bible school is praying for 18 hours, I will die. And I don't want to die. Imagine now that we are running a ministry. I say, okay, I'm the president. Sir, I will die. For example, he's very strong with deliverance. So sometimes I cast out demons. But sometimes when somebody comes and I see that this thing has to do with ancestral issues, this thing has to do with a pattern, I say, go and meet Victor. Whatever God tells him, do. When it's done, come back, I will bless you. And they will meet him. Sometimes they will do the breaking of altar for 2 days. When the person finishes, he comes, I come as a priest of the Lord. And I bless the person, and the person goes. If I use ego now and say, I must handle everything myself, I will die. There are many young people here now who are very sharp in the prophetic. The moment we start praying, they start picking teams. Some of them are national teams. We are grooming them. Eventually, as we work on their character and ordain them, when God wants to speak about national issues, who will tell them? When you pray, whatever God tells you, let us know. It will not be pride to come and say you are the set man. It's only what God tells you. We will not go anywhere. We started evangelism. What's his name now? Brother Nwako. He goes out and then 30 people give their hearts to Christ. Why some people, a whole group, will win 6 souls? There's so much confidence and zeal for soul winning. Tomorrow, when we work on his character and ordain him, they will be one of the first persons that will go on missions. And we will put money there for them to go because they are more effective in soul winning. If I now come and say, I'm the set man, what will happen? I will die. And because I don't want to die, we will allow people to manifest in the area of their grace. That's how kingdom works.
Celebrate Jesus.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.